Have you ever thought about how you would approach someone that you think is getting into the gay lifestyle? What would you say? How would you approach it? Or would you just leave it alone? Well, my guest today on Encounter is Tom Gilson, who wrote a book, Critical Conversations, A Christian Parent's Guide to Discussing Homosexuality with Teens. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Please stay tuned. Tom, tell us about your book and why you wrote Critical Conversations.
Sure. It came out of work I had been doing on my blog for some time, a blog called Thinking Christian, thinkingchristian.net, where I was dealing with the question repeatedly having to do with, is Christianity a bad religion because Christianity is opposed to homosexuality? And there was an attack, really, on the faith that kept coming in all different forms. And there seems to be something like a concerted effort. Actually, it doesn't just seem like it. I've got evidence, documentary evidence, that shows that there's a concerted effort to make Christianity look bad in order to make alternative sexual lifestyles look good. And the result of that is, I think it's causing people, especially young people, to decide Christianity is a bad choice. And I wrote the book to help parents help kids understand that following Christ is still good and right, and good in the sense that it's on the right track, even with regard to these new moral challenges that are coming up against the faith.
Christianity as a bad religion. When you talk to teens or people of any age about that, do you have to start with that topic first? Or where do you start when you have a discussion about sexual topics like this?
The name of the book is Critical Conversations, and I think for parents with teens, the most important place to start is relationally in a conversation. First of all, I want to find out where my child is at. So rather than jumping straight into what is probably the most scary topic a parent can even discuss with the child, I don't jump straight into it. I wouldn't suggest anyone do, but maybe to say something like on your way to soccer practice, you could just say, what do your friends think about this? What do they think about gay marriage? What do they think about homosexuality? Ease into it sideways that way. And find out what your teen is thinking, and then move into questions like, what do your friends think about what the church says about sexuality? And then maybe you'll find out something about what your own child thinks about Christianity in relation to sexuality. You don't want to start by telling them something that's going to be an answer to a question they don't necessarily have, especially preteens. You need to even ask it in a more neutral manner. But I want to find out where they're at, and I want to make sure that whatever they say, I keep the conversation alive and open and the relationship strong. That's the starting point. But then, of course, we do have to get into answering questions as well.
Okay, so if you could pick four questions to help people as starters. You mentioned a couple, but maybe someone has a pencil and paper now and they're ready to write. What would those four crucial things be to help spearhead or start the conversation where you're not on the defensive and the child is not on the defensive?
Yeah, it would be those questions. It would also be a question like, what do you think our church teaches about this? In some churches, it's not talked about at all. What does your youth pastor teach about this? What do your teachers at school say about this? What does your school say about marriage? Of course, that's for students especially who are going to public school. So you want to find out the lay of the land. What are you hearing from social media or from music or movies about this kind of a thing? You don't want to bombard them with all those questions, of course. That would start to sound...
Right, but this gives an idea. So you start out with, hey, what do your friends think about homosexuality? Right?
Right.
And then what do you think the church teaches about homosexuality? Right. Okay, so you just listen to them, and then where do you go from there?
Generally speaking, you might be really lucky, and your child will say, this is what the culture says, and I know the Bible teaches otherwise, and I'm confident the Bible is true. But the problem you want to watch out for is, as a parent, saying, well, the culture is wrong, and the reason is because the Bible says so. The danger in that isn't that the Bible is wrong. The danger is that if the child doesn't have confidence in the Bible, they may just say, well, then I don't like the Bible. And we don't want to do that to our kids. We don't want to put them in a position where they're going to think, well, I don't like the Bible. So what we need to do is explain what the Bible teaches, and it's really quite clear that sexual relationships are for a man and a woman who are married to each other. That's really clear. We want to teach that, but we also want to teach that it's not only clear, it's also good. So we can explain things like the Bible's teaching on marriage really supports strong families. It supports kids growing up in the right way, in the right relationships. It supports families. It supports communities and schools and any other approach to family or relationships weakens those things. And it's hard on kids. It's hard on communities. That's one way we can teach that the Bible's teaching is good.
Can you share some scripture references that would be good for moms and dads to read and share with their kids?
Yeah, the classic one that covers the very question of homosexuality comes at the end of the first chapter of Romans. After a long list of ways that culture falls into sin, it says that women exchange the natural relationships for that which is unnatural, and men burned with desire for one another, and it makes it quite clear that these things are not godly. That's the central one. You can also find it in 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy, similar teaching, but that's the one that I would go to. But I would also just look at, for example, what it says about marriage, what Jesus says in Matthew 19, where he says, from the beginning, God intended it to be for a man and a woman, and that was the way it was supposed to be. And it's good that it's that way it was supposed to be from the very beginning. So I would teach on marriage, too.
What age would you start having this conversation with your kids?
What I've found is that people are saying that it's an issue beginning as young as 9 years old, even. However, it's a different kind of an environment there. If you're talking about a high school teen, you can pretty much assume that this is a live issue. They've heard about it. They've thought about it. They know the terminology. They know terminology that would embarrass us to talk about. You don't need to worry about putting new thoughts in their head. I think with a 9-year-old, you do have to be cautious. So you would ask neutral questions like, what are they teaching you at school about the difference between boys and girls? Or what marriage is about? And if nothing comes out that you need to talk about, then don't talk about it. However, when you get into high school, you need to just go ahead and initiate the conversation because they've heard about it.
And a lot of it could be like locker room talk. It could be lunchroom talk. So we're talking with the author of Critical Conversations, A Christian Parent's Guide to Discussing Homosexuality with Teens. So you start with 9-year-old kids. That is amazing that we'd have to start that early, isn't it?
It really is, but I keep hearing it. It's happening.
What percentage of people today are in the homosexual lifestyle?
The truth that comes out of U.S. surveys is that it's on the order of 2%, and that's a small percentage of people to be having such an influence on the way we're conducting our affairs in the United States.
It does have a huge influence on events that are planned. The transgender events as well. It's amazing, isn't it, how much it has infiltrated our culture.
And transgender numbers are on the order of just fractions of a percent. People who are truly what they call gender dysphoric, which means that they're living with a very strong belief that they're in the wrong kind of body. Their numbers are very small, and their influence is way outsized.
Now, if you're talking to your teens, what if they ask you, well, mom and dad, why shouldn't gays get married?
Well, I think the biblical answer is a good place to start as long as you're also explaining that the Bible can be trusted. And so the first answer is God didn't plan it that way. But a side to it, too, is that gay marriage has a corrosive effect on marriage in general. In order for a man and a woman to marry, to stay committed, to stay in love, and to hang in there through all the ups and downs, it really helps to be living in a culture that really supports that kind of marriage. And especially when it comes to the kind of marriage that produces children, which is the way God really intended it. God planned for marriage to be for more than just you and me. And he intended us to not just be there for each other, not just for our own personal pleasure, but also to have new life come out of the marriage, to have families. And I'll tell you what, there's no way to learn self-sacrificial love that compares with a kind of love you have as a parent for a child.
Tom Gilson is my guest. We're talking about a book called Critical Conversations. What are some signs that your kids might be involved in a gay relationship?
Well, you just want to be aware of who they're hanging around with and how they're spending their time. When my two kids, which are both now married, when they were dating, we knew who they were dating. We had a close enough relationship with them that we had a pretty clear idea of that kind of a thing. And that's really important. Kids need their parents' guidance in these kinds of things. So if kids are staying out late, you need to find out who with. Now, it used to be when I was younger that if I stayed out late with a guy friend, nobody wondered because it wasn't an issue. Now you need to ask the questions. And you can even get to it by asking some of the questions we talked about earlier. What do you think about gay lifestyle in general? And if they're clear on those answers, they're going to be clear on how they relate to other people, too.
And that's really sad that guys just can't hang out with guys just to be guys, or girls can't hang out with girls just to be girls.
It is sad. We've lost something in friendships. I mean, I thought when my daughter, when she was in high school, she'd say, I'm a great friend, I really love, and she'd mention a girl's name, and then she'd say, but not like that. And we shouldn't have to say, but not like that. We ought to just be able to say, this is a great friend, I really love this person, and not have to worry about this other layer of highly charged emotion on top of it that really can interfere with same-sex friendships the way they were meant to be.
Tom, was there an experience that you encountered or someone you knew encountered that caused you to take interest in writing the book, Critical Conversations?
It happened partly through conversations I've had with individuals, including extended family members who were gay and who had questions about what the Bible says. But it happened more because I was involved in blogging on a blog called Thinking Christian, thinkingchristian.net, where I was writing the biblical perspective on homosexuality, and I was challenged by atheists and secularists who said that Christianity was bad for the position it took. And I really wanted to explain that Christianity is good as it's always been. It is God's good way for us to be in the world. And then I'm concerned about youth who may be confused over that.
Okay, so mention some of the other things that are in the book and how people can get the book.
The best thing about the book, many people have said, is basically the back half of the book, the very practical way that I guide parents through some of the real important questions that kids might have. When you ask kids, what do you think about it? You know, is it Christianity that we're haters, that we're homophobic, that we're intolerant, that we're bigots, we're against equality? Some of these are complicated questions, but in every case with these, and there's dozens of them, I give answers that parents can actually read and almost use as a script to help kids understand what the real truth is about these things. Because Christianity is not hateful. It's not bigoted. It isn't the way God intended it to be and the way most Christians follow it. Parents can sit down, and this is really, really parent-friendly and very practical for them. The whole book is really parent-friendly.
You know, pastors or youth directors are often not equipped to handle this whole topic. How do you feel about that?
I agree. It is a very big issue. I would have called this a Christian pastor's guide, except for I didn't think that parents would buy a book written for pastors, but I do hope that pastors would buy a book written for parents. And this clarifies the issues for both parents and for pastors.
Tom Gilson's been my guest. Critical Conversations, a Christian parent's guide to discussing homosexuality with teens. Tom, how can people get your book?
The easiest way is the usual online stores, Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble.
Might be a good discussion for your teen as well as their friends. Tom, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter.